while the world whizzes by. Enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we are going to talk about the Lions' victory over the Chiefs, and more specifically, the performances that caught our eye and what it could mean. We'll also shift focus to this final week of training camp leading up to the last preseason contest of the year against Pittsburgh. What are we looking for this next week as training camp winds down and roster cut day is rapidly approaching? Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey, everyone, this is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Joining me, as always, are James Cook, the senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. As a reminder, you can hear him on his podcast, The Get Around, drops on Mondays. James, as always, good to have you here.
Thank you for having me on. We just recorded our first of our eighth season this afternoon, so we're back up and going.
Awesome. Hopefully that time off treated you well and you guys are energized for a new football season. We're also joined by Coach Jerry Angers. He's been named Michigan High School Coach of the Year as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Coach, as always, it's good to have you here as well.
Appreciate the time, Matt and James, for sure.
All right, folks. Now, as we get started here at the end, you're going to hear me say the normal thing, which is please hit that like button, subscribe, you know, do all those things. But as we get started, I want to throw out one other call to action. I want to ask all of our listeners, we have had immense growth in our show in the past year. And I want to first say thank you for that. And just to continue with the growth and the success, the one favor we want to ask is if you listen to this show, find one other Detroit Lions friend and tell them about the show and show them how to find the show. Just tell one friend about Not the Same Old Lions podcast and just spread the word about what we're doing. If you like what we're doing, that would mean a lot to us. So thank you guys for that in advance and hope you enjoy the show. All right, guys. So we'll talk about the Kansas City game and break down different parts, but I want to start with the quarterback situation first. All right. The Lions signed Jake Fromm last week. And to me, that tells me that Hendon Hooker is going to be okay to be the backup entering the season. And so I'm thinking if they didn't think Hendon was going to be that guy, they would have gone out and gotten somebody else or maybe looked at something different. I felt like they got Jake Fromm that way. If Hendon wasn't eligible to play in the Kansas City game, and if something happened to Nate Sudfeld, you'd have Jake Fromm there, plus you'd have another arm in camp. And so I believe the Lions think Hendon Hooker is going to be the backup starting week one. What did your eyes tell you guys from what you saw when he played against the Chiefs on Saturday? James, let's start with you.
Well, he looked incredibly efficient. I mean, on offense, I mean, 12 of 15, 108 QBR rating. I mean, those are pretty darn good numbers. Doing it against, you know, what was a pretty good Chiefs defense last year, obviously preseason, completely different personnel, but you know, we know what kind of defense the Chiefs like to roll out there. So that was very encouraging. And like you said, they didn't go out to get like Tannehill or Gabbert or one of like the real NFL veterans, which kind of showed you that they were just looking for a camp body, somebody to get them through training camp and get Hendon Hooker into the regular season.
Coach, what did you see out of that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the biggest thing, again, you know, he played well. He did some good things. Two things that stuck out in my mind. First of all, he had a terrible first series to start in the second half. but then he settled down and did a great job. The other one, he learned how to slide. Oh, I loved when he learned how to slide and then get hit in the head again. So, but yeah, he did some great things. We'll talk about Sudfeld too, but I was extremely pleased after watching that game a couple times on our two quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, that sliding thing's important. Do you remember back in the day when the Detroit Lions brought in Frank Tanana to try and teach Charlie Batch how to slide because he wasn't sliding in games? And I'm like, Frank Tanana, former pitcher. It was interesting that they brought a pitcher in from baseball. But nonetheless, that sliding's important. Guys, I'm in the same camp that I'm actually comfortable with Hendon Hooker as our number two going into start this season. I know some people aren't so sure about it due to his lack of experience. I mean, you see some teams are going to roll out with their rookie from this year's draft as their starting quarterback. And I think Hooker hopefully will get a good amount of more practice this weekend, more experience in the game against Pittsburgh. But I think he's there in the fact that he has ability. He has a high ceiling. And so, therefore, you see the potential, and you know, even if there are mistakes, like you've alluded to him, that first series, but then he can come back. And Coach Campbell talked about it, how, you know, he's made some mistakes, but he's got to get to the point where those mistakes aren't as common because he still was able to forget them and come back to the next series and move forward. So we'll see what happens against Pittsburgh here, but I'm pretty optimistic that they've got that situation figured out as long as Hendon Hooker stays healthy and keeps showing progress. So the next position let's talk about this week is the running back position, right? I think we all think, even with the injury to Jahmyr Gibbs, we have a lot of depth here. And there's a lot to look at in this position. We know David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs are the top two. We know after that, you've got Craig Reynolds. You've got Sione Vaki. You also have Zonovan Knight after that. You also have Jake Funk. And I might be missing another person. We have a lot of guys in this running back room. Coach, I want to start with you on this one. How is the running back room looking to you after the top two? And do you have any thoughts on guys that you want to see more from or that you're excited about?
Well, I mean, you named them all, and I think that's the biggest thing. I think we missed one, but, you know, Baki's, he's a player. I mean, they had him returning kicks, and of course they took him out of that. You know, he let us down with those catches. You know, he had some huge runs. He's got shake. He puts his foot in the dirt and finds a hole. He sets up his holes. There was one play where he stutter stepped and then he kicked it outside for, you know, 4 or 5 yard gain, but he has some things that, you know, you can't teach. And I think that's the biggest thing with him, and he's got limited time at that position. So, you know, he's a huge one. I love Knight's game against the Chiefs, not only his runs, but I don't know if anybody realized he's the one that saved the punt return for a touchdown. Knight flew down the field and tackled just before Kansas City. I had that big punt return. I think it was second half or whatever. Could have been first half. But, you know, Knight ran down there and he actually, tripped the guy up. So those are intangibles that, you know, the Lions got to be looking at and going, you know, he put his foot in the dirt well. He set up his runs. He had a couple big runs on tosses. And I think those are the things that, you know, that are sticking out. Funk is just a tough kid, you know, but those two guys, you know, I think with the first three we mentioned are going to be around. I just don't see anything changing, but I could be wrong. But I love Knight's game against the Chiefs.
All right. Thanks, Coach. And yeah, that other player that I couldn't remember, actually, the name came to me, is Jamar Jefferson, who's also in that room. It's such a deep room that I could see, you know, we're going to lose. One of these players is going to get signed by another team if we don't end up keeping them. And James, you know, I'm pretty sure Craig Reynolds and Sione Vaki are going to stick around as the 3 and 4 guys. And Vaki showed a lot of promise, a lot of hope there, not just in the running game, but maybe even in the passing game when we get to it. And Nate Sudfeld can probably thank a lot of his stats for Sione Vaki. What is your take, though, James, on where the running back depth fits and who you kind of see needing to do something?
Yeah, I think you're kind of right on those two guys being having the step up there. I think they're Baki's getting work because he's a young guy. Craig Reynolds got one carry, one target in the passing game because they know who he is already. You know, they don't need to get him reps to see who he is. So I think he's right there, probably the number four guy. And then if they keep somebody else, it's probably Knight, I would say. You know, Funk was pretty decent in the passing game, but didn't do a whole lot with the carries that he got in the run game. And they didn't play Jamar Jefferson at all.
Yeah, you're right. Jamar Jefferson didn't play at all, which kind of surprised a few people, I think, after the comments from Campbell earlier in the week. And as a former Maryland Terrapin, I do like Jake Funk and his game. Unfortunately, he's in a backfield that is just so deep. If he was here 2 years ago, it's a whole different story. But with the talent we have, it's good. And I think we're going to see Sione Vaki play a little bit more of a role in the wide receiver category. Perhaps receiving out of the backfield, because he started showing some of those things. Almost made me think a little Theo Riddick back in the day with his elusiveness after the catch out of that backfield. Guys, let's move to the wide receiver position. We know Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams are 1 and 2, or however you want to do it, 1A, and hopefully ascending to be 1B. But for right now, 1 and 2. We know Khalif Raymond has a very prominent role on this roster. A lot of people are concerned that the Lions do not have a prototypical tall X receiver on the outside. Donovan Peoples-Jones was hoped to be that guy, and that hasn't fully materialized. Antoine Green had the potential, but he got hurt, has been put to IR. So we'll see if he comes back at some point this season. You know, Dorice Fountain was a good story in camp, and he's got a great story of trying to fight back through injury. I guess, James, I'm going to start with you. Couple questions here. One, do you see somebody emerging? I mean, Isaiah Williams looks like he could be great, but he's more of the Khalif Raymond style receiver. Do you see somebody emerging for that role? Do you think it's somebody that's on the roster? Or do you think the Lions might make a move if somebody doesn't step up in the next week?
I think both could be possible. They could have their guy and maybe still add somebody. But I think Isaiah Williams is probably a guy who's played his way onto this team. In part because some other guys have not played well, including Donovan Peoples-Jones, who, you know, he got 4 targets, 1 catch for 5 yards, a really low PFF rating for this week, and he didn't do anything the week before either. So he is really going to have to turn his fortunes around, I think, to maybe even make this roster after what this disastrous preseason for him. So, you know, I think Isaiah Williams has maybe stepped in front of him. And then, you know, I don't know, is Caden Davis a real thing in the NFL? I don't know, but he's at least one of those preseason guys that the fans seem to really like.
Yeah, he made a pretty nice play in that Kansas City game. Coach, what are you thinking here?
Well, we'll talk about Davis, and then I'll kind of, yeah, he had a big play, at 61 yarder. The problem is one of Sudfeld's passes that were incomplete was before halftime. And I don't think Davis sat down and read the zone and would have probably been a first down, or at least had an opportunity for first down. So I think that was, but then I replayed that play a couple times on the long touchdown. It looked like it was a similar route. It was almost like a crossing dig route situation. And he carried it and slowed down enough to make the catch. And then he made a move, you know, for the touchdown. So that was huge. I thought that was good. Peoples-Jones, I watched him, and I, every time they threw the ball to him, I replayed it to see what he looked like. He had no separation. You know, we airmailed one on the sidelines to him, you know, throwing it high because he's tall. But there wasn't, I don't know, I just didn't see any separation nor the ability for him to climb the ladder and go get it, whether he's not getting into his route quick enough, you know, making his cuts quick enough. So I think those are the big, you know, the big things with him. You know, again, he had a great practice last week. You know, maybe stacks another great practice this week and it comes out in week 3, our last preseason game. So those are the big ones. Williams is a machine. Oh, my God, he's returning punts. The kid is just tough. He just does. He had that. I think he had that. He had a big reverse. I think the start second half. He had the reverse. So he's a lion, man. I just think he's a lion. You watch him and he just does all these little intangibles that tells you he should be in the Honolulu Blue. So, going back to what James said, you know, we may have to go out and get that guy. You know, maybe Williams is going to be developing stages, but, you know, let's wait till the end of the next preseason and see what happens with that.
Coach, I want to get a little more insight on Donovan Peoples-Jones from you. There's a guy who had a very successful NFL season just 2 years ago. Yep. And what are we seeing different out of him? Is this lack of separation something new, that something's changed in his game? Is it the fact that he doesn't have Jared Goff throwing the ball to him right now? What is it that we're seeing that, you know, is probably puzzling to a lot of people based on the not just the college success that he had, but he had some great success in the NFL level too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Baker Mayfield, that was his boy, so Baker fed him. And then, you know, I think, you know, the one play on the sidelines that Sudfeld threw to him, he kind of airmailed it a little bit. But, you know, the corner was right there. Again, he's got size on it. I think there was one at half in the end zone, too, or that might have been last week. Could have been both. And I just didn't see that athleticism that he has, the explosion to go up and get the ball. You know, and again, it could be, Goff's not thrown to him. You know, he made a great week last week with Goff, and the timing's off in that situation. Goff is the one he's got to catch the ball for in practice. I mean, we know that. I mean, and so I think those things, and he may be pressing himself, man, getting nervous, you know. And again, hopefully we read good things this week, and he has a big third week to make that separation. But like, you know, James said, I think he had 4 targets. You know, how many reps did he have? I didn't even see how many reps he had. And so, you know, those are things that, Sudfeld doesn't feel comfortable with him, but Goff does. So, you know, those are good points there.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, well, and before we get out of the whole receiver talk, or I guess we're looking for that tall target. Well, even if the Lions don't have that tall target in the wide receiving room, doesn't mean they don't have it on the tight end room, because Sam LaPorta is 6'3". And so they've got some height and some size with the tight ends. You know, Sam LaPorta's number one, Brock Wright's number two. That's been that way from the get-go. It's been the 3-4 spot that has kind of been the question mark. Shane Zylstra, you've got Parker Hesse, you've got James Mitchell, and I know there's at least one other player I didn't mention. I've loved the flexibility of Parker Hesse, because if I'm not mistaken, he maybe played a little fullback at one point in one of the games. What are you seeing out of the depth here, James?
I think it looks good. I think that it's one of those things where I think the new kickoff rules, tight ends are going to be something that you use quite a bit on the returns, kind of almost as your line, sort of, because you don't want to use offensive linemen the way the kickoff is set up, at least not more than maybe one or two. So I think tight ends are kind of your de facto offensive linemen for that return formation. So I could see tight ends, teams maybe keeping a few more tight ends than they would normally would. You know, most teams only keep 3 on the roster. I could see teams keeping 3-4 on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, that could be a difference maker. And the fact that the Lions don't have a fullback right now, I think there's either going to be a running back or a tight end who benefits from that. And they've even talked about maybe if a wide receiver doesn't step up, they might keep a running back. Coach, what are you seeing from the tight ends? Is there any tight end that you want to see a little bit more out of their game this week to maybe increase your chances of making this roster?
Mitchell could be the one. Mitchell had a nice catch. But I'm going to tell you, I has to play that fullback spot again, guys. And that dude's a horse. And he's on a lot of different things. So he's been getting a ton of tight end spots. A ton of fullback spots. So I think he could be that guy. You know, that's where you're looking at, you know, like we talked about the running backs, those extra running backs that can play special teams, as well as the tight ends that can play special teams and block. So has just looks like a big, just a big guy out there that, you know, you kind of look at him, man, he's kind of lumbering and stuff, but you know, he gets the places, man. And he's in people's faces, and he's putting hands on you. So you know, I think he's one of those guys that I'd be nice to see him have a couple catches, you know, in the third preseason game. So, but, you know, again, going back to Mitchell, athletic, you know, he's got great hands. He had, what do you have? One catch, I think, which was, you know, and of course I rewound it right away, and it was, you know, it was a good route. So, you know, so I think that's where you're at, but deep room. And it's awful nice to say that, you know, we text back and forth, you know, during the game, Chiefs game, and man, we're going to cut some guys that we're going to be a little upset about, but hey, that's a good sign to have. So,
yeah, it's nice, because remember how thin we got towards the end of the season there, and going into the playoffs, we had to sign people just because we weren't sure how much depth we had due to the health of the players in that room. Offensive line, as in backup offensive line. Wow, what a difference a week makes. They played a lot better against this Kansas City squad. James, what'd you see?
Yeah, Ugwu, Agude, and Paschal all looked good on the D-line, all kind of – all produced pressures or sacks.
Oh, no, I was talking about the offensive line, James.
Well, they said D-line. Line. Okay. That makes more sense for the order. Yeah.
Go for it. Yeah. So what did you see from the offense? The guys actually had time to throw the ball.
Yeah. I swear I heard you say D-line, and I was like, okay, all right, I'll move to that then. But, Colby Sorsdahl played every single snap on offense for the Detroit Lions the whole game. Didn't miss a single snap. Didn't have a great PFF grade or anything, but played every single snap, which shows you that they're going to give him every opportunity to make this team and to get more experience and be somebody who can contribute. Manu looked a lot better than last week. You know, the first preseason game, he really kind of struggled and looked almost a little bit out of place. This week, he looked really good, especially in pass protection. Zero pressures on 40 snaps. I mean, that's pretty darn good. So those are a couple of positions that I think people were a little bit worried about coming in, you know, was these backup offensive linemen. And if the Lions have an injury or two, can these guys come in, step in? And I think it was a little bit of a relief to see Manu play good after that first bad game, and Sorsdahl at least play the whole game. He was decent, not great, but not horrible either.
Yeah, and you know, again, getting those extra reps and getting that experience is going to help him grow that much more. And yeah, huge turn of events. It was nice. It was a breath of fresh air, not just because it wasn't raining and pouring, it was sunny out, but it gives you hope and encouragement that, hey, we've got some guys that might be able to fill in. And it allowed us to see a little bit more accurately what our backup quarterbacks can do for having a little bit of time. Coach, what can you add to that about the offensive line?
No, I watched Sorsdahl. You know, he had that one. He had a procedure call, but, you know, I watched him on some pass blocking sets, you know, and he, you know, he was a tackle coming in, played guard last year, for, you know, he's moving around. And I said, saw the same thing that James did. He played all those snaps, and yet he did some really good things. You know, I mean, it looked like, you know, they all grew, they all learned, and they all got better, which is, you know, we talked about that. You want to get better from week one to week two. Who filled in for Skipper got hurt? Was it Jones, right? Jamarco Jones? I mean, that dude, he had ended up playing 25, you know, he had, or 29 plays and freaking graded well. I think he was their highest grade. So, I mean, that was kind of cool, because I was like, who the heck's that guy? You know, it's another one of those guys that just keep coming out. But, and I saw the same thing with Manu. I mean, I was impressed with, you know, he had more snaps and played a ton better. So, you know, I think that's good, you know, that we got some depth. Neeston plays, he only had 36 snaps, but I still think he, you know, he's kind of etched in and already got a spotlight. So they're trying to get, you know, some of those other guys. So, yeah, it was good stuff. And, you know, we ran the ball well. The toss sweeps, we did well. You know, anything inside the tackles, we did well. So, you know, definitely a positive sign. Again, not going against, you know, the number ones, but you know, it's still going against guys in the NFL, and they grew. So that's huge, and I'm sure coaches are pretty pleased with that.
Yeah. If they can get something out of Jamarco Jones, I mean, that, I you know, even just practice squad and maybe injury fill-in the rest of the season. I mean, at one point a year or so ago, he was tackled or penciled in as the starting right tackle for Tennessee, and then kind of played his way off the team by getting into fights during their preseason games and practice and stuff. But, you know, the coaching staff has a connection with him, with Terrell Williams. So he must have vouched for him, but Vrabel didn't.
No, Mike Vrabel's got a no fighting policy, I think zero mm-hmm. tolerance or whatnot. And so that could be a nice little find there. And if Lions were able to connect with him the way, you know, with that Terrell Williams thing, that could be a nice find for depth there and a quality one at that.
Yeah, he's got ceiling. He's not the youngest guy. I mean, he overlapped a little bit at Ohio State with Taylor Decker. he was Taylor Decker's backup. So he's not the youngest guy, but he has a high ceiling. He just has never lived up to it in the NFL, and partially because he's played his way off of teams because of his attitude.
Well, he's in the right place to get the proper coaching and have the right guys around him to, you know,
yep.
Hopefully he can succeed this time. Well, let's jump over to the other side of the ball. Hey, James, let's talk about the defensive line. And I just first want to say here, our defense allowed 2 field goals against Patrick Mahomes, and these were mostly backups. I think anyone's going to take that like every day of the week if they can. Such an improvement as far as, you know, going up against a first team like that and seeing that those type of results. You know, Agudé and Dorsey had a couple awesome TFLs, man. They blew up some plays. They were like fighting off a block and making a tackle. Like, and I'm sitting here, I was getting excited about watching how well this defense was playing against Mahomes and Kelce. And I know they scored and whatnot, but you just saw some great stuff happening. James, let's start with you since you already kind of started talking about it. What did you see on the defensive line?
Yeah, they did. They got some pressure there from Ukwu and Agudé. Josh Pascal all looked pretty good on the D line. The Chiefs were never really able to run the ball. You know, Denarik Prince had one 41 yard run out of his 47 yards that he got in the game, and like nobody else averaged over 4 yards a carry. So they stopped the run. They really blunted the pass and were able to put some pressure on there against, you know, the Chiefs number one guys. So, I mean, to beat the Super Bowl champs with your backups and their starters, that really says something.
Yeah, you know, that's 2 in a row. I mean, you know, I guess we would have liked to have had one game in between there to play them again. But, yeah. Coach, what were you seeing on the defensive line there and who was standing out to you?
Well, you know, and again, the bend don't break defense. You know, we gave up some big plays, you know, where they had that big play and that team route that beat Robertson, and then they, you know, and the touchdown stuff. But I think that was with the other key with the touchdowns with the other quarterback. But yeah, we pressured Mahomes. I mean, he had that. He tried to make a little flip pass, didn't work. Of course, he did the one around his back. You know, I found out, I was listening to his interview, that he was mad at Kelce for running the wrong route, and so he threw it behind his back at him, and they completed it. I thought we moved him off his spots pretty well after that pass, and you know, the little flip pass he had. You know, Mahomes had to try to make some plays to do it, and the Wingo Pascal play that people probably won't notice, where they put some pressure on him, where they ran a little stunt. You know, I think Wingo went under Pascal and put some pressure on him. It was just good to see, you know, in crunch time when, you know, Mahomes was trying to score touchdowns, we stopped and made him kick field goals. So huge for our defense. And that was with our second and third string guys. So can't wait to watch the big dogs play.
For sure. And Coach, I want to stick with you here for just a minute, and then we'll have James answer this as well. I want to talk about our linebacker play, because I feel like that's the area of the defense that's had the least amount of turnover. We have the most known quantities, so they're probably getting the least amount of attention. And so what have you seen out of the linebacker play? And is there somebody that, you know, has impressed you more from last year or that you're hoping? I mean, we all hope Jack Campbell, he's the natural candidate to take the biggest step, because he was a rookie last year. And if he does take a step, that bodes well for the entire linebacking room. But what are you seeing out of the linebackers right now?
I mean, those guys are just flying to the ball. We talked about Gilbert last week, and then he's hurt. And then they signed, the guy they signed this week? Oh, man, I had his name written down. But
Abraham Beauplan?
Thank you. Thank you. That guy, I mean, he had one play where he didn't fill the hole. I saw it. If he filled the hole, it probably stopped the first down or a big gain. But after that, man, that guy just stepped up and played it. And I think that reacts to what's happening up front with our defensive line. But, you know, those guys play hard. Maven is Maven. I mean, we don't have to worry about him. So, and, you know, each one of those guys that step up, they're doing some good things. And again, I think it's our D-line play is so much better that it's opening up those gaps for our backers to read. And every one of the backers, I think, watching them, as you know, I coached that for 30 some years. They all fill gaps, all coming downhill, and there's no thought process because they trust what the D line is going to do. And that's just great, you know, linebacker coaching and great linebackers trusting their teammates. So, you know, it's fun to watch those guys. You know, they had a few big run, you know, few big plays against us, but still this did a terrific job.
Yeah, that is awesome. Just in 2 short years, we've gone from, you know, we don't know who's going to be a starting linebacker to we have so much depth on this team at linebacker. James, any thoughts you want to add to that linebacker room?
Yeah. I mean, Bo Plant looked really, really good in that preseason game. Somebody that they just signed this week. You know, I don't know necessarily where he fits in with what else they have and how much of a shot he's got at making it, but he could have maybe just played his way into a practice squad contract or something. He's also got Malik Jefferson ahead of him. And you know, and he played really well the first game. Didn't really see the field this game, but maybe that just says where he's at as far as making it on the roster.
Did you guys see they signed a linebacker today?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. His first name's Joel, and Dan Miller was trying to figure out how to pronounce his last name, and I haven't figured that out yet, but I'll get to it. Yeah, so that, again, could be due to an injury right now and just wanting to have another guy on there, and or maybe there's something they know about this guy. But, yeah, I saw that they did bring another linebacker in. Moving to the secondary, though, I want to talk about Kendall Vildor because – I mean, I remember in the offseason, I was like, I hope the Lions bring this guy back. I hope they sign him because I loved the physicality that he played with. And again, we're not asking him to be our number one or our number two. We're looking at him at number four, number five down the depth chart, depending where you're at. But the physicality this guy plays with, I just absolutely loved, and I thought it fit our team well. And so I'm liking what we're seeing out of the depth of the secondary right now. James, what did you see out of the secondary?
Well, I mean, they weren't able to do all that much with Mahomes in there, and that speaks, you know, heck of a volumes. But they did get good PFF grades from actually the guy that had the highest PFF grade, I think, in the entire team was Lauren Strickland, one of the rookie safeties out of Ball State. And so, I mean, he could be somebody who's maybe jumping past CJ Moore on this team. He played a lot on special teams too. So he could be a guy who's maybe looking to get one of those last couple of spots. And, you know, and CJ Moore didn't have a great game. But like you said, Vildor played very, very well.
Yeah, and you're right. The safety position, there's still some question marks there on the depth chart as to who's going to be in those roles as well. There's a lot of fluidity, though, we also know, because they've alluded to wanting to be able to move some guys between maybe the nickel spot and the safety position. And we're not just talking Brian Branch either. So they could move some guys around a little bit. Coach, what are you seeing out of the secondary?
Yeah, I think the same thing. Dorsey, again, you know, he got beat on a play or two, but, you know, he ran with Worthy on one. I mean, he ran with him right down the field. I'm like, dang, that dude, I didn't know he was that fast. Worthy probably didn't run his 4.21 or whatever he ran, but they were moving him. You know, he was chasing those guys. He went on Rice a couple times, he followed Rice across the field. So I think they're trying to find something there. I saw Roberts in that, nickel or corner slot spot, whatever you want to call it. Not sure what their defense scheme is in that situation. You know, he got beat on the one touchdown, but he made some great plays in there. So that looks like they may be trying to get him into that position. And again, there's, you know, it seems like there's a lot of depth in all these different positions, those guys that, you know, we can interchange. Interchange so many different spots, and I think it's going to be great. But Vildor, I agree with you, man. He played his tail off, and well, that was just good to see. And maybe he knows he's not number one, and he's going to make sure he's number two and get on the field. So But a lot of good stuff with that with those guys playing, and I really liked seeing Roberts in that. He made a switch move on one play in the second half that it was just beautiful, and cut off the crossing route, and just his feet were perfect. Looking forward to him. I think we're going to stop a lot of people.
Nice. And I know, the Vildor was on the wrong end of a couple of big highlights last year, but I also think that he was pressed into a situation where he had to get up to speed really quickly, and he was asked to do a lot. And not that he can't do a lot, but I think the role, like you kind of talked about, that could be getting carved out for him, there's a good chance he can succeed. And seems to be the type of player that Aaron Glenn's going to want on that defense to allow him to try to run the defense the way he wants. Guys, let's jump over to special teams. We have an amazing punter, Jack Fox. Enough said. Okay, moving on to the next guy. The kicker, Jake Bates. Fox is pretty amazing as our punter. Let's not underestimate or underrate the quality guy he is. And the other reason I always want to keep him is he's got to be one of the best fake punters out there, because he can throw a football. So he gives you that little thing. I think he played quarterback in high school, maybe. So I love that aspect. But let's go to the kicker, Jake Bates. I'm so glad we talked about him a week ago before the Kansas City game and kind of gave that nugget about what he could do and what he could be and what that kick against the Giants could be for him. And he wasn't perfect, right? He missed an extra point in this game. But I wrote an article about this on notthesameoldlions.com. And you know what? I pointed something out. No kicker is perfect, except there was one, for the Minnesota Vikings back in 1998. He was perfect. The problem is he missed a field goal in the NFC Championship game, and they didn't go to the Super Bowl. But he was perfect all season. So you don't have to be perfect, but you want to show progress. And four field goals, one from 55 yards, and one a game winner. James, how are you feeling about Jake Bates and the way the Lions have handled the situation?
I'm feeling pretty good right now. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw it, if you saw the video of Khalil Dorsey on the sideline. Yep. When Bates was kicking the game winning field goal, he was basically just looking at the camera, not even looking at the field, being like, he's got this. We're good. And I think a lot of Lions fans are optimistic that they can feel that way this season. He's been pretty money so far. The extra points thing, who knows? That was one of the questions we had about him the whole time, because they don't kick extra points in the UFL. So he hasn't kicked an extra point in a game since high school. That's the easiest job or part of being a kicker. He's got the rest down.
Yeah, well, and I also appreciate what Coach Campbell has said about him, the aura about him. But he also, he said, Fip and I know, listen, he hasn't arrived. He's still going to make mistakes. Look at Jake Moody last year for the San Francisco 49ers, right? He was the first kicker drafted last year. I think he was drafted before Chad Ryland. Either way, both of those kickers were drafted. They both struggled last year as rookies. And Moody struggled, but then Moody got better later and did make some good kicks. And so Campbell said, listen, the guy's going to still make mistakes. It's a growing process. And so, Coach, the Lions took a different path than a lot of people thought they would. They didn't bring in another kicker to help him, to work with him. They gave him all the reps and said, we believe in you. We see your talent. Let's do this. Talk about that approach and what you're seeing.
Well, we talked about last week, and it's the exact same thing. Take a guy that has all kinds of talent and don't beat him down. Build them up. And I think that's what they're doing with them. They're building them up. And you guys said it, Dorsey's on the sidelines going, he's got this. The Lions don't fear him going in there. They didn't fear him going in to make the kick before we got points before halftime on a kick. Even though it was a short one, we still got points before halftime on a kick. So, those are after him, after he missed an extra point. So I think that's the best thing they're doing. Again, Dan Campbell believes in his guys, and he's going to show all the trust in them until they let him down or let themselves down. And right now, Bates isn't letting anybody down, so just keep grinding, keep climbing, and let's have some big kicks this week, and then we'll go into the season, and he's going to win two or three games somewhere down the line.
Yeah, he has that leg strength. If he can fill in the role that Matt Prater once filled for us, that would be immense. And I think that's probably the best comparison we're looking for right now with that leg strength. So hopefully he continues to grind, continues to grow, continues to progress, and hopefully the fan base can live through the hiccups, because there's going to be some. So, all right, what are we looking for the rest away at camp, folks? We've got like a week left here. We've got one preseason game left. Other than, you know, number one, stay healthy. That's the biggest thing we want to see right now for the next week. Coach, I'll start with you. Anything you're looking to see over this next week from any play or any position group, what are you looking for?
Well, I think we're getting it. I'm hoping Donovan Peoples-Jones breaks it out. I just hope it is, because I you know, I'm rooting for the guy. You know, we talked about him during the offseason. He they gave him a contract. They brought him in last year in free agency. And I'm just hoping that he grows and continues to learn and gets off on it. Quarterback play, I want to see that, you know, the exact same thing, both those guys growing. You know, we didn't talk about Sudfeld. You know, he threw for 196 yards in the first half. Okay. He did this, he missed that. You know, a couple receivers didn't sit down on a route. But I'm going to tell you the thing, he had a flip pass for a first down. He wanted to show Mahomes he could do the same thing. He rolled out of the pocket to extend the pocket. It was a huge play on that. His passes, he had the run on the boot for first down. And, you know, because Hooker's the thing. And the drive before halftime, I don't care that he threw those check down routes to a really good running back that we have. What I loved about him is not making a mistake on the first and goal, on those three passes, only threw them where our receiver could get them. We still got 3 points before halftime, which is what you're always doing. You want to go 2-for-1. And so, you know, those are positives. If him and Hooker get better again this week, man, I think we're in really good shape.
Awesome, Coach. Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate both of those. I think we all want to see DPJ take a step forward. And I'm actually hoping Hendon Hooker starts the game. I want to see Hooker get as many reps as he can in this, just because we see such a bigger ceiling with him than we do with Sudfeld. And I think all Lions fans want to kind of see Hooker elevate to that number two spot going in to this regular season. So, James, how about you? What are you looking for this week?
I'm hoping to see Christian Mahogany and see if he can come in and be another guy that can give them a quality depth piece on the offensive line. And then hopefully see Sorsdahl and Manu take further steps. I think that, you know, they're looking at Sorsdahl to be that utility backup lineman that can play all over. And I think that's part of the reason why he played so much in the first couple of games. And, you know, the only way he's going to do that is with experience, and he's going to have to get some more. Manu obviously has to have some, but I'd like to see what Mahogany has too.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Mahogany could be a huge, huge person to play a vital role for us on the backup offensive line there. Guys, we've talked about this roster and you know, guys, you know, you might be pulling for. Is there anyone you're pulling for to try and make the roster at this point that you're like, this is a borderline guy? Like, I would love to see them get on. Like, I'm rooting for Isaiah Williams, undrafted free agent out of Illinois. And I think, you know, I think he's played himself into that conversation at this point. I understand there's some redundancy about what him and Khalif Raymond do, but I just think it adds another element, and he's a guy that just seems to be showing enough promise. So, James, is there a guy you're rooting for, pulling for?
Yeah, Williams is the one that I was going to pick too. I don't think that the redundancy with him and Raymond, and even a little bit with St. Brown, is that bad of a thing. You know, having the same similar style of player, you know, if one of those guys gets hurt and he has to come into the game, that's the same dude for Goff to throw to. You know, the redundancy is not a big deal. You know, if they need him to, if somebody, one of the outside receivers got hurt, could he do it? Yeah, I think so. And he's just looked electric so far in the preseason. I think he's a guy who really has played his way onto the team. You know, is Caden Davis another one? I don't know. He's going to have another good game against the Steelers.
All right, Coach, how about you? Any players that you're looking at?
Well, Akuda's been sticking on that defensive line for me. I mean, I like, you know, that we brought him in and he's going to be good. And again, Houston, I don't even think he played. He must have hurt. I mean, that's, and I think, God, I hope he plays in the last preseason game and does what he did before he got, his rookie year. So, so one of those two guys, I think are going to be, one of those two guys I'm kind of pulling for on which one's going to make it. I think Betts is going to be a practice squad guy, even though he has some flash, but, so I'm kind of pulling for Agudah and I like the way he plays and I'm pulling for Houston again. I like the guys that have been there and we put a lot of faith in and hopefully they step up and do what Dan Campbell and staff want so they stick around.
Yeah, James Houston's a guy we didn't talk about at all, and he hasn't been talked about as much because we haven't seen a whole lot. And remember, the whole second half of last season, everyone was counting down the days to when Houston might be able to return from injury because we needed that extra help at pass rush. And so, yeah, I'm hoping he plays against Pittsburgh, and I'm hoping we see something because that might be needed for him to stick around because there's a lot of competition now at that spot. All right, guys, we know roster cuts are going to be tough, and there's going to be some players on our team that potentially get picked up by other teams. So let me ask you this. We saw the Lions, they traded late last year, right around the trade deadline for Donovan Peoples-Jones. They traded for Trinity Benson in training camp before. I think it was a year ago. Could have been 2 years ago at this point. Might have been two.
That was Holmes' first year.
Okay, so 3 years ago. Okay, three. Yeah, wow. Time goes by when you're having fun, let me tell you. So let me ask you this. In the final week of training camp, could you see us trading somebody who is likely to potentially get released for either a seventh round draft pick or for a positional player that we might need a little more depth at for our roster? James, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think you totally can see that. The Lions have multiple seventh round picks next year. So that's something that they have, that kind of ammunition. They could pull that kind of trade. And right now is exactly when you want to make that kind of trade, because that's when teams that have depth of positions are looking at, we're going to have to cut this guy, but maybe he has some value and maybe we can trade him in a seventh round pick for a sixth round pick, or just trade him for a seventh, or, whatever you can get, and get something rather than just cutting him and lose him for nothing. But somebody who you think can be a productive player for you.
James, is there a certain position you would want the Lions to target if they were to do something like that?
If they were to do something like that, I think the most obvious position is wide receiver.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially someone who can play on the outside, just because there's not a whole lot of depth behind Jamison Williams as far as being a pure outside wide receiver. St. Brown is still kind of a tweener, even though he does play the majority of the time on the outside. But those are really your only two pure outside receivers with Antoine Green gone.
Yeah, and there's also hope that Antoine Green will get healthy and then the Lions can bring him back. I think it's 2 or 3 weeks after whatever the injury settlement week number is. But the hope is maybe he could be somebody who could come back to our roster sometime midseason or after that. Coach, how about you? Any thoughts on trades or trying to grab somebody else that's not on the roster right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the same thing. I mean, last year I think it was always they're going to trade Levi or they're going to trade, now you don't even hear that. They've blocked that guy. But Houston may be that guy, Cuda may be that guy where they have cap money too, and with those seventh round picks, like James said, they can put a pretty nice package together and be able to bring maybe a big name receiver. And that's going to cost them a little extra money if that's the case. But again, I agree with you guys on that. I think the receiver spot's the one we got to look at to bring in. If these guys don't do well, the third preseason game, but Holmes is always working and I'm sure he's been on the phone and they got something brewing right now, especially when Dan Campbell last week said, you guys better step up. I'm waiting for a receiver to step up. He's basically telling those guys, I'm not going to play games here. We're going to go get somebody and you're going to be cut and hopefully you get on the practice squad or you go with somebody else. I can see that happening, especially if things don't go well against Pittsburgh.
All right. Well, and that's our next thing, right? You got the preseason finale this Saturday against Pittsburgh. We're going to be watching to see who elevates and what areas the Lions might think they still need to address before roster cut down just a few days after that. Folks, next week, we're going to be doing our season preview episode. So be sure to look for that. And we're going to be previewing each divisional opponent as well. So expect to see multiple episodes next week. James, thanks for being here. Thanks for all the insights. Love talking Lions as always.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Coach, I love the detailed analytics you're starting to bring out even more and more every week. Keep it up. Awesome talking Lions with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Love it, you guys. It looks like it's going to be a fun season, the three of us together, the three amigos.
I like the sound of that. It makes a good show when we all can get together. Yep. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah,
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Horton's. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.